Okay, this coming week's parsha, Parsha's Devarim, is also a special Shabbos in the sense that Shabbos is Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av, the day that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. And the parsha starts off with Moshe. He's about to die. Bnei Yisrael are about to enter into Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe begins to give them rebuke. Give them Musar for certain things that they did incorrectly, sins, rebellious acts that happened over the course of their travels against Hashem. But, as Rashi points out, it's all given b'derech remez, in a form of a hint. Pasuk says, Eila dvarim asher diber Moshe al kol Yisrael. Moshe said this to all the Jewish people, be'ever ha'yarding, other side of the yarding, ba'midbar in the desert, Barava, Mosuf, Ben Parana, Ben Tofel. Rashi says he wasn't in all these places. He wasn't in the Midbar now. He was about to go into Eretz Yisrael. But rather, Moshe is hinting to an act that happened in the Midbar. An act that happened at the Yam Suf. An act that happened, Ben Parana, Ben Tofel, etc. All of these places are just a hint, a vague recognition of what happened at those places. In honor of the Bnei Yisrael, in order not to make them feel bad, he didn't directly go ahead and rebuke them. Instead, he gave it over in a vague type of a way. But as we continue in the Parsha, we see that there is one instance that Moshe actually doesn't hold back. He goes ahead and explains the whole thing, and that is the Cheta Maragim, the sin of the spies. And he starts to get into details. You came to me and you asked me to check out the land. I said it was okay. I was really hoping that you were going to back off if I said it was okay. But I said it was okay. I got 12 people and they went up and they checked it out. And you came back with fruits and you told us what you saw. But you didn't want to go in. You didn't want to go in. So here, all of a sudden, not vague, it's not hidden, no hints. He gives the whole thing. Rebelled against Hashem, spied out the land, bad report, bad response, etc. What's the deal? So it's obvious, the answer is that this sin is different than all the other sins, all the other acts that Bnei Yisrael rebelled against Hashem. This one is worse than all of them. And in fact, Moshe says in Pasuk Lamed Zayin that because of this sin, he wasn't going to be allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. That's pretty bad. It's because of this sin of the spies. The Gemara says in Maseches Tainis and Daf Chavtes Amud Aleph 29a that the spies came back on the 8th day of Av, this Friday, and Bnei Yisrael heard the report. They cried all that night, the 9th of Av, and Hashem said that because you cried for no reason the entire night, so I'm going to give you a reason to cry in the future. There's going to be weeping for generations on this day. In fact, the Mishnah says in the Maseches Tainis, a little before that, in Chavav and Mabeis 26b, the Mishnah says that both Bati Mikdash were destroyed on the 9th of Av. It was because of the sin of the Maragim that planted the seeds for this eventual calamity, these horrible things that would happen in the future on the 9th of Av. And many things have happened since then. The Jews were expelled from England in the year 1290 on Tisha B'Av. Expulsion of Spain started on March 31st, but the end of the four-month limit of when they're allowed to be in there was on Tisha B'Av. Both world wars began on Tisha B'Av. And so on, maybe we'll speak about it a little more in Tisha B'Av. But this day has been a day that repeatedly, over the generations, has been one that we've cried about. And that was all planted in the times of the Meraglim. So we understand why Moshe over here elaborates on this sin. But when you look at the Psukim, there's something that strikes you as very, very strange. We know the Meraglim came back and they gave a bad report. But that's not what the Pasuk says over here. Over here, Parshas Devarim, the Pasuk says, Vayashivo sanu davar. They went out, spied out the land, and they came back. Vayomru, and this is what they said. Tova ha'aretz. The land is good. That's a good report. That's not a bad report. Tova ha'aretz, the pasuk says. So Rashi, of course, comments right here. No, don't get confused. Miyem sh'amru tovasa. Oh, that's Yeshua the Kalev. It was only 2 out of the 12 spies that came back and actually said that the land was good. But everyone else said that it was bad. So the report was bad. You cried. Big sin. But my question is, then why did Moshe write that? Why did Moshe say that? Why does Moshe say over here that the report was that the land is good? I understand that 2 out of the 12 said that. But that's not why everyone cried. Why didn't Moshe elaborate on the bad report that came back? So we see a very, very important thing over here. What was the musr? What was the rebuke that Moshe was giving them? You know, it's one thing if someone comes in, the Meragim, the spies, were very, very righteous people. So you get all these righteous people come back and they tell you something's bad. And then you cry about it and you follow what they say. No, it's not your fault, right? What was the 12 giants of the generation come and tell me something's bad? I went with them. Comes Moshe and says no, but it wasn't all 12. 2 people said that it was good. And therefore, you had a choice in front of you. You can either look and follow the people that said that it was bad, or you could look and follow the people that said it was good. It was in front of you. And instead, you went after the bad. You were able to see that it was good, and maybe the other people weren't reporting properly. But you didn't see correctly. It was in front of you. You had the option of looking in both ways, either good or bad, and you messed up. And therefore, Moshe says, they came back and they said it was good, and you could have seen that, and you could have gone with them. And nothing would have happened. Nothing, you shouldn't have cried. Nothing bad would have happened. But you didn't see it properly, and you went with the others who said that it was bad. The fault, the sin, of Bnei Yisrael in the times of Meragim was that they had the ability to see something as good or something as bad, and they were negative. We find this earlier in Parsha Shlach, that the Meragim, in their report, they say, in Perakit Gimel, Pasuk Lamedal, it's Sefer Bamidbar, they say, Eretz Ocheles Yoshvehi. It's a land that devours its inhabitants. And Rashi explains that wherever they walked, wherever they went, they saw people burying each other. So they said, I don't want to move here, everyone's dying. But really, Rashi explains, Hashem just did on that day so people would be so busy they wouldn't notice 12 guys just strolling through their land. And they'd be able to properly spy out the land. There was a good interpretation and a bad interpretation. And they went with the bad interpretation. They weren't able to see the good in every single situation. The Gemara tells us something fascinating. If you look at Eicha, which we'll read this Motzei Shabbos, hopefully we won't. Minute to read Eicha. There are 5 prakim. In the first 4 prakim, the psukim are all in the Aleph Beis order. Pasuk 1 starts with an Aleph, Pasuk 2 starts with a Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, etc. Perek Gimel has 2 Alephs, then 2 Beises, then 2 Gimels, etc. But if you go through the order in Perek Beis, Gimel, and Dalet, there's one letter that's flipped backwards. It's in the wrong order. And that is the Ayin and the Pei. It should have been Nun, then Samach, then Ayin, then Pei. But if you look at the Prakim, Pei, the Pasuk for Pei, comes before the Pasuk for Ayin. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Kuf Dalet 104, the Gemara says, because this is in the middle of Eicha, right? We're mourning the Sashkin of Beis HaMikdash. It's a hint to the sin of the Meraglim. That the Meraglim put their pay, put their mouth before their ayin, before their eye. They spoke about things that they didn't see. Normally the ayin comes before the pay. You see something and then you describe it, you talk about it. The Meraglim didn't see certain things, and they spoke about it. They spoke about negativity when it wasn't there. The fault of the Meraglim was in the Ayin. The ayin came second instead of coming first. They didn't look, observe, ayin, look deeply into it. Eon, right? Morning Seder's eon. You think about it, you look into it deeply, you contemplate. They weren't ma'ayin. They didn't have the ayin first. Instead, they jumped to the pay. They jumped to speak about it, and therefore, to hint to the maraglim. Eichel is written with the letter pay coming before the letter ayin. And again, what does it have to do with the Beis HaMikdash? What does it have to do with Eicha? Like we spoke, because of the crying that happened because of the Meraglim, that ultimately led to the crying that we have on the 9th of Av with Eicha. I'd like to read you a story, a very, very powerful story, that's written about a great tzaddik, a great Torah giant of the last generation, Rabbi Eliezer Silver. Besides being a great Torah giant in New York, United States, after the war, he went around to all the DP camps and he was trying to mechazek people and he gave them money and he raised money and he was really helping all of the battered Jews, the survivors, all over the place. Simon Wiesenthal, who eventually would become one of the big, if not the biggest, Nazi hunters, he described his encounter with Rabbi Silver in a DP camp. They met each other at a DP camp and they were talking and he recounted what happened at the time. And he said as follows. He said, previously during April of 1945, a train from Hungary arrived at one of the death camps. One of the newcomers to the camp smuggled in, crazy man, but as we've read so many stories, we'll hear about it hopefully more on Tisha B'Av, the Jews, some of them did crazy things. He smuggled in a sitter into the camp, which was obviously risking his life, but he had to have his sitter. He smuggled it in. And Wiesenthal at first greatly admired this individual. This amazing. He's sitting here in the camp and he smuggled in the prayer book. Risking his life. But then at a certain point, this turned him off. He got really upset about this. What happened? He saw that this inmate started to give out this prayer book to other people in the camp in turn for their food. What a chutzpah. You have a sitter, you're the only one in, and you're such a tzaddik, you smuggle it in, and then you sell it for people's own, they're dying, they have nothing. They have no food. And you're selling your prayer book, the sitter, for some food? And this obviously, as we could imagine, probably would turn all of us off. Turned Simon Wiesenthal off. At that point, Rabbi Silver arrived at the DP camp where Simon Wiesenthal was with a Torah scroll, a Sefer Torah that he brought from America. But Wiesenthal said, I'm not coming. I'm not coming to the services. No, I want nothing to do with this. And he said to his friends, I will never forget that greedy man that was in the camp that would use his sitter to get money. I want to have nothing to do with this thing. Later that night, Rabbi Eliezer Silver came to meet Simon Wiesenthal and he said, you know, I heard that you wouldn't come to the services. And Wiesenthal told him the whole story and said, I'm disgusted by what you people do with a sitter. I have nothing to do with it. And he started to walk away. And Rabbi Silver put his hand on his shoulders and he grabbed him and he said, I'll read the exact words over here. So they tell me you're angry with God. So Wiesenthal said, well, I'm not angry with God. I'm angry with one of the servants of God. He told him the story. And Rabbi Silver said to him, and that's all you have to tell me? That's it? That's the whole thing? That's why you're not... So Wiesenthal said to him, wait, that's not enough? That's disgusting. That's how you act. That's how these people act. I don't have nothing to do with them. So Rabbi Silver said, you're a silly man. So you look only at the bad man who took something from the good ones. Why don't you look instead at the good men who gave something to the bad one? And Samuel said that that touched him so much that the next day he went to the service, he went to the minyan. And you can look at this guy and say, look at this guy. What a disgusting person. Selling a sitter for all these people for their food. Or you can look at the exact same story and say, look at these amazing people. They don't eat, they have no food, they're starving, but they're willing to give whatever little they have to get a sitter. Amazing, look at these Jewish people, what they would do for a sitter. I'm not going to go to a minyan. I'm not going to daven. I want to be part of these people. They're willing to give up every little thing they have to get a sitter. But he didn't see the story that way. He saw it the other way. But when Rabbi Silver was able to change his mindset, see it from a totally different angle, so he said, okay, I'm in. And I'm going to come to daven. And he did so the next day. This was the chen of the Meraglim. You had the ability to see the good, to see the bad. And what did they do? They went towards the bad. The good was there. Like Moshe says in this week's parsha, you came back and you said, Tova Haaretz, it's good. There was a report that said that it was good, but we ignored it. And we looked at the bad. Where does it come from? Why do people do this? This happens sometimes to all of us. So the very, very next pasuk, when Moshe is criticizing, rebuking Bnei Yisrael, he says, "Vatomru, you said, Besinas Hashem osanu otzianu meretz Mitzrayim. It's because Hashem hated us that He took us out of Mitzrayim. We're going to die. It's going to be horrible. It's because Hashem hates us." And Rashi speaks out that Hashem loved you. This is, you hated Hashem. And he quotes a mashal, a popular saying, the Mad Belibech, that which is in your heart, Al Rechimech, about your friend, Mad Belibech is what you think is in his heart, Aleich, about you. Sometimes someone could love you, cares about you, wants to be your friend, but you hate him. So if you hate him, if you have issues with him, can't be he likes you. So all of a sudden we start to feel, oh, he hates me also. He doesn't want to be my friend. He doesn't want to hang out with me. But it's really a reflection just of what we're feeling about the other person. Really, he loves us. And that's what Rashi said, Hashem loved you. But because you had issues with Hashem, so you decided that Hashem doesn't like you. Very often, when we see a false picture, when we interpret something in the incorrect way, in the negative way, it's really because we ourselves are negative. We're suffering from negativity. We're bothered by something. We're tired. We're grumpy. Something bad happened to us. Someone rubbed us the wrong way. And all of a sudden, something that's unrelated completely, we look at it negative. When we are in a bad headspace, when we have issues with other people, then our vision, our view of world events, of what's going on, ends up being negative as well. And therefore, one of the ways, there are many ways, but one of the ways that we have to try to fix this, how do we fix this sin of the Meraglim that caused a snowball effect to Tisha B'Av, how do we change that? We have to look inside ourselves and try to be more positive. We have to count our brachos, our blessings, all the different things that we have in our life. We have to be positive people. And with that positivity, through that lens, we have to look at everything around us. And if we know we're in a bad mood today, it happens, we're normal. If we're having difficulties, something happened to us, don't make any big decisions. Go to sleep. Rest, relax, wait. Don't start going ahead and yelling at people. Don't start going ahead and getting into very serious confrontations. We have to be aware. I'm not in a good spot right now. And let's just wait. Let me resolve that and then I can move forward. Whatever it is, whatever we have to do, we have to be self-aware. We have to try to be positive as much as possible. And if Chas V'Shalom we're not, be aware. And realize that because we're not positive, we're going to have difficulty interpreting basic things that are right in front of us. Yeshua and Kalev, they told us, Tov Haaretz, it's good! Go! It's going to be awesome! Oh, it's bad. Let's cry now for the entire night and ruin the rest of Jewish history. That's what happened. It's crazy. But we have to be careful. So in order to fix the Chedem Aragim, in order to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, we have to make sure that we're able to see things in its true way, in its positive way. And we have to look inside us to make sure that the glasses that we're wearing are not fogged, so that we can see the good. And Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to be much more successful and be able to continue to be Ovid Hashem, to serve Hashem in the way that we're supposed to be. Shavua Tov.